B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Ammonia is not contagious, guys. You're all set.
Again, what is that?
Ammonia is not contagious.
What is not contagious?
Ammonia.
Touch Rescue on Macaron Award.
Send in the clown.
It would be the theme for today's bit, I believe.
That is true. So let's start with Nicholas, young Nicholas, sickly Nicholas. If you could come in studio, the Joker, I believe, comes out tomorrow.
Yes, it's just Joker, Fred.
Oh, well.
There's no the.
I apologize.
Come on, what
so
are you
much.
Doing?
Joker comes out.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. He's put the Marvel Universe on its head, or DC Universe on its head.
It is. DC, all of a sudden, a little rally. They've sucked for so long, and all of a sudden they said, hey, we're going to make $1 zillion with Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Shazam got good reviews, and all of a sudden this film comes out, and people are freaking out.
Well, yeah, and Todd Phillips, they're very pissed at him because he said he didn't want to do comedies anymore because people are too woke, and everyone got mad at him, and to that I would say it's his decision. Like, if he doesn't want to do comedies anymore because he doesn't like you, then he doesn't have to do comedies.
But that makes me ultimately nervous because Todd Phillips is the guy who did The Hangover, which the first Hangover is amazing. I love that movie. But then in the second and third one, he tried to make them actual action movies, and they stunk. And so I'm a little worried of his transition into the world of serious comic book film. And so there's part of me that's a little hesitant to get too excited for Joker.
But people just get insane. Like if I say, I don't want to work at this so-and-so company anymore because I'm sick of the way they do math, like you're going to start screaming at me and go, no, that's your problem. If Todd Phillips says, I don't like the culture around comedy right now, and I don't feel like dealing with it and dealing with the studios. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, well, I and it's all these people, like these like comedians with like 500 followers on Twitter. Like, I managed to navigate the waters. Well, yeah, this guy's a multi millionaire who's got a bunch of hits under his belt,
right?
And you're gonna sit here and talk about how you're adjusting to the new scene? If you don't want to do it, you don't want to do it. I mean, not everyone can be Dave Chappelle and just get up there and say, I'm going to deliberately piss you off.
Sure.
Like, you know, which is fantastic. But nonetheless. All right. So Nicholas, young Nicholas, so sickly, his girlfriend found him nude in bed.
All right.
Having soiled himself. He now has...
Covered in duty.
That's right. He now has a thing in his heart to keep him alive.
Yep.
Covered in so much poo.
It's every time.
Every
That's
time.
The best part of
it. You know what? We should.
Every time.
We should just make him sure it says they found me covered in poo.
I'd buy it. That Delroy Designs guy. Get on it.
Yeah, just Nick was covered in poo. That's all the shirt.
No, it should be that Delroy Designs guy made
with his face. They found me covered in poo.
No, it should just be like remember the Coppertone commercial. It should be him pulling down his pants a little bit.
He just looks like a brown swamp thing.
Yeah. Oh,
it's the reverse tan line.
Oh, man. That's right. He's like, that's great. He's lily white except for his buttocks.
Come on.
It should just say chocolate rain. All right. So anyway, so Nicholas gets so emotional about movies.
Yep.
And after the Avengers movie, he said that he was, what did you say?
Emotionally exhausted?
Yeah, but that's different compared to what Joker was.
No, but how is it different?
Because I was invested in like 22, 23 movies, and this was
about
big,
superheroes.
Yes.
And so so at the end of it, did you cry?
No.
But you felt like you were going to cry?
I got emotional.
Do you think about it sometimes still?
No. Well, the only times I think about the movie is just thinking how great it was. It was great, but not to the point of crying or anything like that.
But yesterday, Wallach, what did he tweet out?
He said, I'm glad I saw the movie, but I'm never watching this movie again. Pause, you know, skip a space, ever, period.
Right, and this is a
great
guy,
movie that I never, ever want to watch again. Ever.
That's it.
And this is a guy who soiled himself.
What does that matter?
Because you've been through hell and back.
That's true.
You're a fighter.
You're a fighter. Except for when it comes to controlling your bowels. Then you're kind of like France.
Yes. It was comatose. Come on.
You just waved the white flag.
You know, I was not, you know.
He's not a fighter.
I was not there. Yeah.
He's not a fighter. He's a slider.
If I had the choice, I would not, you know, have that happen. But I had no choice.
I think we all have decisions.
You could have just not gotten sick. I mean.
Yeah. Or you could have controlled your bowels. All right. So anyway, no bowel controlly.
Oh my God.
All right. So don't get specific because Bert is gonna lay this out.
Right.
But what was this? You walked out rattled out of this one.
It was a great movie. I really enjoyed it, but it the tone is so dark and grounded that I don't think it's necessary for me to see it again.
If you saw it again, it would bring you to a terrible headspace.
I didn't feel great leaving that movie. It's dark. It's excellent, but it's dark.
Did you have to go get yourself like a sundae or something afterwards to get yourself feeling good again?
No. Yeah, I need a drink. I had a drink after.
Every time you say it's dark, like it being like a comic book movie just makes me think, is it dark or is it dark?
Oh.
You know, ooh, look at how spooky we are in Cementus. It's like when Jared Leto is the Joker and he put like twisted on his forehead. Oh, how evil.
Hey, it is. Nick does take a shine to these kind of films.
Maybe. But I don't know. I think we need to wait for a second and step back because if we truly want to know what
Hang on a second. Monty has an interesting question. Okay, Monty, go ahead.
Hey, what was the worst experience or a darker experience? Watching Joker or watching your dad make out with a porn star in front of everybody?
My dad. I mean, that was messed up.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Do you still think about that?
I try not to.
Yeah, but sometimes
But it slips in, you know.
Yeah.
And
have you ever fantasized about it?
With his dad in there?
I don't know.
No.
I hate surrogate.
I hate everyone. I hate everybody here.
Yeah,
I hate you. I hate Fred. He always has to go there.
I know.
Like with my sister, too. That was weird. That was the weirdest thing he's ever asked.
What?
You remember when he was asking if I thought my sister was hot?
Oh, yeah, I remember that day. Yeah, that was very uncomfortable. Yes, I remember that.
I asked if you thought she was attractive.
No, you asked me if I thought my sister was hot.
That's something that you can go, you could say, yeah, my sister's an attractive woman. Why the hell can't you say that? It's like saying Tom Cruise is handsome.
Am I wrong?
No, I would have gotten a little weirded out if he had asked me about my sister that way.
Why? Too. It's
I don't know. It's just a personal feeling. If you had asked me, dude, you think your sister's hot? I'm like,
but this is also weird. Coming from my only child. You wouldn't understand, like, you know, if somebody asked you that, Rich, about your sister, wouldn't you feel a little weird?
No, I'd answer no and move on.
Yeah.
Or well, you could say
all of us are emotionally exhausted by this. So.
I would just say no.
Or you could say
she hot? No.
How about this? You could say, she's attractive. I didn't ask you anything remotely erotic about her. I asked you if you thought she was hot.
Mm.
Which you could say, yes. I mean, you know, she's an attractive woman.
If it disturbed you so much, why did you just bring it back up?
I know.
Because he has this trend of, like, bringing... I don't know. Sorry.
Also, that was my weird things in the headspace, man.
Like, how come you can't... I hear people all the time, like, in documentaries go, like, oh, yeah, she was a beautiful girl. Or, like, my mom was a beautiful... You could tell, like, she met my dad in Coney Island in 1920, and she was a beauty.
Which documentaries are you watching?
Every documentary ever.
About people meeting
every
1920?
Every documentary. Hang on.
Is this on the Charleston?
Every documentary about any Jewish person that is in Hollywood, that was involved in Hollywood... That's of a certain age. There's always black and white pictures of them at Coney Island. Every single one.
Okay, so there's Supermensch, the documentary. Which other ones?
Oh, my God. Like Jimmy Breslin and...
it's a weird documentary.
Jimmy Breslin was a columnist in New York that was very famous. Okay. I don't know, dude. A bunch.
Someone said, hey, tell John to stop defending Nick. Perhaps it's time for Mark Davis to discuss Wallach's mom.
That's a good
sweet,
point.
Sweet cans.
That's right.
Lumpy and dumpy. Squeeze, squeeze. Honk, honk. Honk.
Who are you honking?
Tune in. Tokyo, hello. All right. Well, Nick, you get very confused by questions about your sister that are easily answered.
Yeah. Just, you know, listen, just all you need to do is just calm down. Listen to some music, you know.
When you're sliding in the first, you feel a sudden burst. Diarrhea. Diarrhea. When you're sliding in the second,
theme song.
Just diarrhea. Diarrhea.
Is this from BCN?
The third player just turned diarrhea.
All right, we got to stop. All right, Bird saw Joker last night, and Nick asked him all about it. I can't let Nick feel too superior over Bird, so you got to dress him down a little bit before this all happens.
I get it.
All right, we will return with that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Hey, Drew, would you like to come work out with me?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, cool. Go by Great Boston Fitness and get a quick workout in.
Sounds good. Where are we going?
Whenever you want. We'll go right after the podcast. And we can, after our workout, we can have a Great Boston Fitness shake.
Ooh, are they any good?
Yeah, they're great.
Ooh, I'll definitely take one of those.
All right.
Dude, I heard they have a 20,000 square foot facility, or at least that's what I read on greaterbostonfit.com.
Yes, it's all true. They have a variety of equipment and knowledgeable staff.
Cool, so they're there to help.
Yes, they are. Keeping us active for our show, Greater Boston Fitness, we build people.
.985 The Sports Hub. Just remember that dude is now a professor.
That might be my favorite, like, non-discussed storyline or non-researched storyline that we've learned in the past several weeks.
And Lord knows you need to work out to get to sit down and do a radio show. All right. Well, anyway, Joker, as I'm being told, it's not the Joker. Joker, which I actually would like to see, but we've heard Nick's take that he never wants to see it again because it was so dark. But Bird went to the premiere as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so Nick, after the movie, asked him to review it.
Yep. And as he's done many times in the past, he was able to record his instant reaction to what he had seen. And there are no spoilers.
Of course not. And if there are, they're false.
So let's get to it. Here is Bird reviewing Joker.
Here we are. What's your name?
Bird.
Can we use this for the radio?
Come on, questions that, yes.
All right, what movie did we see?
Joker.
Why don't you tell me about the movie?
The movie's about an individual, and it goes so far off the deep end, I just couldn't fathom how dark and eerie and creepy it was.
I just think it was about an individual.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't about a hawk?
An individual hawk, I mean...
Yeah, just Joe.
It's not about a flock of hawks.
The twist is, it was about a sparrow.
After seeing that movie, how are you feeling?
I feel like I'm in a dark place right now. Like,
this is going to piss off a lot of people, and I can't wait for it to piss off everybody in the country. I just feel dirty and dark, and it was just, I don't want to see it again. There's no need for me to see it again. I need to go see, like, an Instagram video of puppies or something, or babies laughing.
All right. Tell me what happens in the movie without spoiling it for Rich.
It starts off, something happens, and he's just, I don't know, it's just clowns everywhere.
What was your...
Okay. I can see that on the poster. Starts off, I don't know, clowns everywhere.
It starts off, something happens, and he's just, I don't know, it's just clowns everywhere.
Okay, all right, somebody make... I need a Photoshop. I need a Photoshop of that review on the poster.
Well, he's trying not to spoil anything, and it's very hard for him to formulate, like, an obtuse thought. So he just goes, bah, bah, clowns everywhere. Someone make a rap song with that sample.
Oh,
clowns,
big
clowns, clowns,
clowns, clowns,
clowns
everywhere.
Clowns everywhere. Clowns everywhere.
That's right.
Clowns, clown, clowns, because clowns everywhere.
Starts off, and something happens, and he's just, I don't know, it's just clowns everywhere.
What was your favorite part of the movie?
The best part of the movie was, jeez, him smiling.
When you're smiling, you bring on the day.
You could have just looked at the poster. What's your favorite part of the movie?
I was like, when he was smiling. Hello, lady.
The best part of the movie was, jeez, him smiling.
Can you picture Bird just watching 2 hours? Like, of a cat video. Like, you know when they show, like, the birds flying around and the cat starts swapping at the TV? Like, Bird just sitting there, like, transfixed.
Clowns everywhere.
My lord.
Oh, God, my stomach hurts.
Clowns everywhere. As far as the eye can see.
Would you say you're mentally drained?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. No. No, I'm mentally disturbed right now after seeing that movie. Like I said, I need to see, like, cutting videos or something.
What do you think the deep message is with this movie?
He was just doing awful things, basically.
What?
I saw a Boston comedian in there in the beginning. Did you see him on stage?
Yeah, Gary Goldman.
Oh, I didn't want to ruin it for everybody. My bad.
Spoiler alert.
That's it. Spoiler. I can't go now.
Spoiler alert. Gary Goldman's in it. I don't want to ruin it for everyone. Like,
I just want to apologize to the listeners. I did not know that was coming. I am
now,
so
Gary
sorry.
Goldman is a great comedian and has a special coming out called The Great Depression.
Which looks amazing.
But, yeah, I don't think Gary Goldman...
Alert! You guys!
What's up with you and Mike, Rich, that you didn't take that out?
Damn it. Oh, Mike, you're supposed to be my backup here. I missed something. You're supposed to be that guy.
Basically.
What?
I saw a Boston comedian in there in the beginning. Did you see him on stage?
Yeah, Gary Goldman.
Oh, I didn't want to ruin it for everybody. My bad.
I don't think that's the biggest spoiler about
all right,
this
but
movie.
Don't.
Excuse me. So
I did like the Joker's laugh. Joaquin Phoenix nailed...
He comes away with so much. I'll tell you, he's really got it going on. Citizen Kane, what did you like? Hats. Everyone had a hat on. You know? What'd you like in The Shining? The carpets. They were 70s style.
So
I did like the Joker's laugh. Joaquin Phoenix nailed the joke. The laugh.
Rank the Jokers. Who played the Joker the best?
Oh, Heath Ledger, number one.
So you think Heath Ledger was better than this Joker?
Ooh. Yeah, but this is like on another, like, Dark Knight was dark, but it wasn't like mentally in tormental darkness of Joaquin Phoenix had a...
It's Goth Bird.
It wasn't mentally tormental. Illiterate Goth.
I mean, if you're looking for an album title, Mentally Tormental, I think would be a good one, whatever band you're in.
Oh, double toilet in trouble. Allow me to speak in a clear sentence.
In Tormental Darkness of Joaquin Phoenix had a hit in this movie. So 1A maybe? And okay. Then Jack Nicholson and Jared Leto sucked.
Yeah, I don't like Lentils either.
Jared Lentil.
What about Burgess Meredith? Where was he?
He was the Penguin. Come on.
Jared Lentil. They named the soup after
him. Oh, he was the Penguin?
Burgess Meredith was the
Penguin. Who was the Joker?
I don't know.
Burgess Meredith, yeah, was the Penguin. The Joker was Cesar Romero?
Okay.
That is correct.
All right. And what was his name?
I mean, was it Jack or John Lentil? I forget his name.
Yeah, that's the problem with what you said.
Jared Leto.
Oh, Leto. Yeah, he's in 30 Seconds to Mars.
Yes.
He's in the band.
Yep.
Okay,
he is.
I know
is. What did you think of Robert De Niro in the movie?
He was just playing like a David Letterman type of character.
What do you think the reaction is going to be about this movie?
People are either going to love it or just absolutely hate it, and how, you know, deep and mysterious of mental illnesses is. Mental illnesses.
How's David Lebanon doing on TV nowadays? Pretty good? Have you watched the Netflix special?
You know, we're at a
he's grown a big beard ever since he quit the late night talk show, David Lebanon.
You know, there is a frank discussion that's being talked about now about mental health. And, you know, people are opening up about it. And we have a PSA for you.
Mysterious love, mental illnesses is... Mental illnesses.
Ladies and gentlemen, let that sit with you. It's time to have a serious discussion about mental illness. That is a bad way to represent people with mental illness.
My new band, Tormental Darkness, with Jared Lentil on vocals.
John Lentil.
Yes.
Is what he said.
John Lentil.
Don't even give him Jared. 30 Seconds to Mars.
John Lentil, 30 Seconds to Mars.
What did your girlfriend think of it?
Rebecca, come here. What did you think of the movie?
It's so disturbing.
You want me to wipe out of the room?
All right, so.
Giggity.
How many street...
What?
He did the quagmire
the
thing.
Giggity. Oh, all right.
Yeah, he's all over the place. He's referencing everything under the sun.
How many street parties do you give this?
3.5 out of 5.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was a bit long. There's a lot of scenes that could have been cut out of it, I thought. Storytelling was awesome, but other than that, it was just dragged on and on and on, which is just unbearable. It was like 2.5 hours too long.
How do you rank this?
Whoa. It should have been minus 20 minutes.
So it was 2 to 2.5 hours too long?
Yeah. They should have actually, if it was a 7 o'clock showtime, they should have ended it at 6:40.
Put that on the poster, too. It's about 2 to 2.5 hours too long. Joker.
It really could have just been when he smiled.
The best part of the movie was him smiling.
It should have just been, here comes Joaquin Phoenix and he just smiles. And then, bravo, bravo.
Give him the encore.
Clowns everywhere. Unbearable. It was like 2.5 hours too long.
How do you rank this with all the other DC movies?
Oh, below it.
How about comic book movies in general? How do you rank this?
I think it'd be top 5.
Top 5?
Whoa. I'm really confused.
It's not one of the great DC movies, but in terms of comic book movies, it's one of the best.
It's top 5.
Top 5. John Lowe. 3 Seconds to Mars.
Mars. I mean, was it Jack or John Lentil? I forget his name.
Top 5?
I think, no. Like I said, people are either going to love it because of how dark and deep it gets with the Joker, and they're going to finally understand the meaning of how he is who he is.
We're talking top 5 comic book movies of all time.
All right, top 5.
So you got Endgame, you got Infinity War.
Oh, no, I thought we were just talking just DC.
No, I said comic book movies.
Top 25. I'm not naming the 24, so you get F off with that.
Who's in the birdcage?
Who's in the birdcage in this movie? What's the comedian's name? Rebecca, what's that comedian's name that we like?
Robert De Niro?
No, the other guy. Mark Malkin. Yeah, he's a... Mark Malkin.
Sounds like a sex act, first of all.
Mark Malkin?
Yeah. It's Mark Maron. I don't even know. I didn't even know he was in the movie, but I could. I think I've been around Bird too long.
I actually understood that too.
I mean, I that's another spoiler alert. We didn't throw in there.
That's right. I didn't know Mark Maron was in the movie, but Mark Melkin. It does sound like a sex act. I'm gonna come over here and mock your Melkin.
Robert De Niro.
No, the other guy, Mark Melkin. Yeah, he's a Mark Melkin. He has a mustache. Glasses.
Maron. Mark Maron. Mark Maron.
Close enough.
How long is Maron in this movie? Yeah, like 5 minutes?
Burn with your reviews.
He was just doing awful things, basically.
So, by the way, his favorite part of the movie was a guy who's in the movie for 5 minutes.
No, he's in the birdcage. No, he did not like
him. Oh, he did not like
him. No, he's in the birdcage.
Oh, he was in the birdcage.
Yeah. Come on. You gotta get that part of it.
The tormental darkness of Joaquin Phoenix had a hit in this movie.
I'll tell you. Throwing stones.
Jared Leto sucked.
All right. Wallach and I were out at the Bruins Media Day.
Mark Melkin.
We talked to a bunch of people. We'll play them throughout the week. Tori Krug, though.
Of mental illnesses is...
With his contract situation, you want to play this one first in case anything breaks.
Clowns everywhere.
Here are the headlines.
The best part of the movie was... Jeez. Him smiling.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Sports Hub.
I can't believe he did that.
Rich. Didn't want to be there because he was embarrassed.
98.5 Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Tutcher and Rich. And John and I yesterday were out at the media day for the Bruins. And there's reports that Tori Krug has been talking about his contract. And see how you think about this when you listen to it, if you think that things are going well with the contract. And I will tell you this. John, was I critical of any of the players? Tuukka Rask, did I admit that I had been critical of him?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I like Tori personally, so I'm very nice to him at the end. So just keep that in mind. I was not this way with everyone. I think I even tell him that.
So you're worried there's going to be backlash for you being too nice in this particular interview?
I don't want everyone to think I just went to media day and started kissing everyone's ass.
Well, I mean, this isn't the only interview we're going to play, correct?
But it's the only one we're playing today.
I understand that, but I think...
And the reason we're playing Tori Krug is just because he's in the news. And so here is us with Tori Krug. 98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Tutcher and Rich, and we are at the Bruins Media Day, and we are very fortunate to be joined by Tori Krug. 47 on your score sheet, number one in your heart.
That's right.
This is a very short off season.
As short as you can possibly get. So it's a different one. Trying to manage it. A little different than 2013 when we went through it. You know, I was kind of the young guy trying to come back into training camp and impress some people and try and make the team. And this time around, it's kind of...
You can just blow it off. And no,
I wouldn't say that, but it's just all about preparation and trying to, you know, hit the stride at the right moment.
How do you handle the off season? Where do you go? Do you stay here?
I stay here. This is probably my sixth or seventh year.
Oh, I just saw your daughter on the internet.
Yeah.
They're just, over there.
Yeah.
How old?
We had Sailor 4 days after game seven, so she's... just over 3 months now.
Okay, how's that?
It's a learning experience.
You happy to be going on the road?
No, to be honest, I'm a little nervous about it because, you know, they're still at that age where she's changing every single day and she's learning new things. And, you know, I've enjoyed every moment of being able to be home because most guys, you know, they have kids and while we're in the season and they're not able to be at their wife's side every minute. So it's been nice, but, you know, well, we'll see how it goes on the road.
Do you think there's not a part of you that says, like, because no matter how, you know, rich you might be or how famous you might be, there's a child. I mean, it's still making noise, regardless of who goes and takes care of it.
So there has to be something for that you say, this is not the worst time for this road trip.
Yeah, maybe I'm able to skip a few diaper changes.
Yeah, like, this isn't the worst time in the world.
You know, it's funny. All the guys go through it. They're like, we're on the road, and, you know, they get a phone call, and the wife's like, you're just sitting in a Ritz-Carlton eating room service right now, like, all mad at you, and you're just like, all right, well, I can't help you right now.
So right.
Just stop yelling at me, but...
I know a guy who goes to... Excuse me, my bird is getting loose. I have a guy who goes to Korea for, like, the day. He lives here. He goes to Korea for the day, and he'll come back, and his wife's like, go. You got to skip out on all of this. He's like, well, I'm making money. I'm going to Korea.
Yeah.
And this is how you, this is what you don't get it, because I understand completely that.
Right.
They'll get, yeah, you're just sitting in a Four Seasons. I'm playing hockey.
Right.
This is how we afford our lifestyle. Yeah. I don't get an opportunity to tell them, oh, you know, I can't come today. Yeah. I got to go take out the trip.
Like, I'm sure that argument works, though.
It doesn't. I mean, I'll be like, hey, look, I got home at, you know, 2:30 in the morning. I got practice in the morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you're in a Four Seasons. So we'll see.
Yeah, 2:30 in the morning at a Four Seasons is the same as 2:30 in the morning anywhere.
Oh yeah,
there, that is something that is not pleasant. All right, so anyway, you got the whole contract situation happening. Mm-hmm. And we were going to discuss that in great length now. And you're going to be open.
Well, it has. That's how it works.
That's exactly right.
You're going to be so open. Yeah. About everything that's, yeah, going on. All right, so you've expressed the desire publicly to stay.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. This is where you want to be.
Yep.
Okay. And has management reciprocated in that fashion to your satisfaction?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, it's...
Your voice changes when you answer these questions.
I'm a little more serious now, huh? I'm not as calm and laid back. Look, I mean, it's no secret. This is where I want to be. Like you said, I've publicly noted that. And I think they have, you know, come out and said that as well. So, you know, I have teammates in that locker room that want me here a long time. I have, you know, friends and family that want me here for a long time. And we're obviously going to try to make it work. And hopefully that is reciprocated. And we'll see where it ends up.
Is it scary? Because I've talked to you before. And is it scary, kind of the, maybe not scary, but unsettling? You know, you have a daughter. You, you know, have a wife, and you want to stay here, but you don't know. You don't know where you're going to be. As the season goes by, I'm not saying it's going to affect your play, but as the season goes by, is it something that's going to weigh on you? Obviously, you would have to think so.
Yeah, I mean, I think if anyone tells you that it doesn't affect them, they're probably, you know, lying a little bit to your face. But that being said, you know, I've gone through it before. I've gone through contract negotiations and playing on one-year deals and things as such. But it's a little bit different this time around.
Yeah.
You know, this is there's more people that it'll affect. It affects my wife and my daughter, and, you know, where she's going to go to school, and our family moving forward. That being said, you know, it's a great problem to have, and we'll see how it goes.
And you're a proven commodity now, mm-hmm. and now you're someone who stands to make some money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's different in that way, too.
That is different, yeah. I mean,
so there's an excitement to it as well, because at the end of the day, I mean, you're going to be rewarded. And mm-hmm. Did you think that coming into the league the way that you did? Did you think that there would be a day where you'd be considered a top defenseman in the NHL?
Well, it was something that I was always confident in myself. And if you told me, you know, 6-7 years ago, you know, what I would be staring at, the implications of, you know, my play and things as such, then, you know, I'd probably be a little bit shocked and step back and be like, all right, hold on a second. There's a lot to be done, a lot to be earned. But, you know, I've done it. I've put in the work and been to 2 Stanley Cup finals, unfortunately, coming up short. But, you know, I've withstood the test of time involved with this core group, one of the few guys that have stuck around that hasn't won the Stanley Cup, you know, in 2011. There's a small group there, and then one of the few guys that have withstood that stand of time. So just trying to be a part of it, and I want to do it.
If you ended up in Buffalo, would you be pissed?
What's that, in Buffalo? Dude, you can't say anything right now. You never know what's going to happen.
It's a good point. Money's money. You can always have a house somewhere else.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, we're talking to DeBrusk, and he said that, and this is not a reflection of the team, he said he was going to buy a house in Edmonton, that he was looking to buy a vacation house in Edmonton,
Is that something you could, I could see you buying a home in Edmonton, but could you ever see buying a vacation house in Edmonton?
I don't know what a vacation house in Edmonton is. What does that mean?
It's a nice, it's an igloo. I don't know what a vacation house is.
It's an igloo with lots of light, so when the sun goes down and doesn't come back up for 5 months, right. You have light in the house.
I don't know. That does not sound intriguing to me, so he's got to do whatever he has to do. Who knows?
All right. Well, listen, I, for one, I think you're a great guy. We're very happy with you on the team. You have a very specific skill set that's very valuable in today's NHL. And by the way, I haven't done this to any other player. I have not given them praise. The rest of them, I'm negging pretty bad.
Perfect.
It's a numbers game. Yeah. So what I'm saying to you is that personally, it would be great, and I think Bruins fans would think it was great if you could stick around. I know you want to. Congratulations on the daughter.
Thank you very much.
And even though it means winter's coming, which is always a little sad.
Yeah.
We're happy and sad to see you, if you understand what we're talking about. No, it's winter. There's nothing good about it. All right. Well, listen, you guys start off Thursday in Dallas. We'll have it on our station. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Do you like to watch?
The answer is simple.
Follow the Sports Hub on the Twitch app.
They are spectacular.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We just played an interview with Wallach and I with Tori Krug.
Which, by the way, in a minute, we need to discuss, because that is not what I expected to hear.
And by the way, I gave the preamble that this was the one interview where I was very favorable to the person. In fact, John, we discussed that I was, I told people that I had badmouthed them on the air. I did do that.
And told Tuukka Rask right to his face.
I told Tuukka Rask right to his face that I have, you know, doubted him many times, and I thought that they should have played Halakia last year.
Yeah, but give Rask credit. He looked like you weren't alone. It's right. Like, yeah, I'm used to it.
But I did, at the end, kiss Tori Krug. I like him. I like the guy. I can't help it. I like the guy. And I've insulted his performance as well. But I do like him. He's from the same area as I am, and I've gotten to know a little bit. Hank, go ahead.
Hey, love you guys. Was I just not listening to a Hawk and Romance novel? If that wasn't a love fest, I don't know what is.
I mean, you have to understand, and I don't mean to speak for Fred here. Like, guys like Tori Krug, we've known for years. Like, him and Patrice Bergeron and Zdeno Chara.
Marchand.
Like, these are guys that we've spoken to a million times. We've done charity work with them. There's been events that, these are kind of people that we've, I don't want to say we're like best friends, but we've built relationships with. You know, like, they know our kids. So it's kind of like one of those things where, if this stuff comes across like as being, you know, a little too familial, shame on us, because that's unfortunately what we've kind of bred over these years.
But I do understand where you're coming from. That's why I say that's the only one that I resort to. Because listen, I want the guy to stay. He wants to stay. He just had a kid. And when you know, and like, so you go like, oh, I wish you could stay. And I think that when we've talked about it and we've convinced ourselves, all of us, that, I mean, there's a reason people would pay him. Is because he's a great point on the power.
Very good offensive
and listen,
defense.
Hank, if it makes you feel any better, there was one time where Milan Lucic got right in Fred's face and wanted to kick his ass.
That is true.
Okay, I do fit. But yeah, no, we got to keep Krug. He's too good to let go. You know, as a person, as a player, represents the city. It's everything, you know?
Yeah, I think that they just need him offensively.
Depends on what the number is.
I don't know if they can afford
it. You have to worry about the Brusque 2 next year. So it depends on what the number is.
So let's talk about that, because that interview is not what I expected to hear, because it's right on the heels of the story that came out yesterday. Maybe it was the day before, but it was in the last 48 hours, about, matter of fact, I'm looking at a story right here on Yahoo Sports. It says, Torrey Krug said that his mind was at ease after the Bruins had initiated talks with his camp for a contract extension beyond the season. And it goes into how it seems like the ball is rolling and that something's on the horizon. And after hearing your interview with him, Fred and John, it doesn't sound as positive as the stuff I've been reading.
It didn't sound positive last year when you talked to him.
And so this is why when you said earlier, you brought that up, Fred and I looked at each other like, that's not what we heard
that tone,
at all.
The tone of his tone when talking about the contract contradicts, and maybe it's just the way that things are being painted, where you can take one small quote of something that he says, and if there's no follow-up, you can kind of run with it, which I think a lot of these writers have done. But hearing you guys follow up his answers and things like that, it's got to be frustrating, and it just seems not like a 180 of what we're reading, but it's not as rosy as we're all led to believe.
I can tell you with all the confidence that he does want to stay, and I don't think that, and this is, I'm almost positive that he doesn't think it. He probably is leaning towards that it's not going to happen.
I would agree with that.
Okay, so you don't think...
Because last year, he wasn't confident about... Like, he hasn't bought a place, and you can say what you want about it, but he hasn't bought a place.
No, that's true. He was very quick to mention, and he mentioned it on air. That wasn't an off-air discussion. That was an on-air discussion.
No, it was off.
He said he's renting, and he's still renting. Okay, he hasn't bought a place.
This is not what you want to hear if you're Torrey Krug, but do you think this conversation that they've had was management going to him and saying, Torrey, we want you, and we're going to make it worth it, but right now we don't have the cap space and we want you to play this year, but I guarantee you when the season's over and more money opens up, we are going to sign you.
No, I don't think that that's what they said. I think that what they said is, you know, we want you and we'll do our best to work.
No, it's an extension. They weren't going to rip up the 1 year he has left on his contract. No. It was always going to be an extension when the money opens up next year anyway.
But it's when you put the pen to paper, I think that...
But if it's a contract extension, that's when the cap number, the average annual value, hits.
Right.
I think that's the way it works.
Well, I know because of the Kovacek contract.
We're going to have Jaffe or Ty Anderson in tomorrow to describe this to us?
I know you can't backload a contract anymore, and I know that it's the average of what it is.
Someone said you cannot say Luch wanted to kick Fred's ass and not tell the story.
I don't know if he wanted to kick my ass, but he...
He got in your face.
He did get in my face. Yeah. He said, all I know is that he said, well, I guess I'm not going to be here or something like that. He got in my face. He goes, well, I guess we'll know when I'm not here anymore or something like that.
Yeah, because he had heard you on the air saying that, I guess near the end of his time here, that he wasn't going to be here the next year. And up to that point, you know, once again, Luch was a good guy. We were good friends with him. We had talked to him on the phone a bunch on top of all the stuff.
Playing the baseball game.
But he did not, in the baseball game, but he did not like when you had gone on the air and said that that Luch is not going to be here. And you were right. You were actually right. Didn't make that meeting. And I can't believe I missed it when he did that.
It was a backstage at Cuts for a Cause. I mean, it was so like random and quick that it like wasn't scary or nothing.
And you'd been drinking a little bit, so you didn't look
like...
Oh, yeah. We always do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wasn't... Yeah, you got loosened up a little bit.
All right, quick, what team does Lucic play for?
Oh, yeah,
he
good
plays
question.
For Edmonton.
Edmonton, right?
Nope.
Was that his last team? Because he went Kings,
that was his
Edmonton.
Last team. Kings, Edmonton, different team this year.
It's like Arizona.
Nope.
Calgary. Okay.
But this is where we are. I mean, Lucic, who was supposed to be a 30-goal scorer, has only reached 30 goals once. And since he left the Bruins, 20, 23, 10, and in 79 games last year, 6 goals for Lucic.
All right. Well, tomorrow we'll play our DeBrusk and Marchand interviews. We still got Enes Kanter from when Rich and Wallach went out to Celtics Media Day.
Dude's great. He is just
as advertised.
Yep. All right. So we will hear from all that. But first, Chris Mannix coming up.
Chris Mannix is not going to be
okay.
Honest.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. But we do have something that does need to be discussed, and that is, you asked Patrice Bergeron about a certain something that I've been fascinated with over the last several days.
Right.
And apparently, I've not heard this yet, Patrice did not disappoint.
Let's not oversell it, but it's
interesting.
It's kind of what you think it would be. All right, so we'll be back. No commercials here, just the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.